Welcome to Food for Thought. I am Dee Dee McGrail.
And I'm Laura Mangone. And it's a bleary, very warm. Can you believe how hot it is outside? The humidity?
Yeah, it's pretty humid. It's not pleasant.
It's not pleasant. 4th of July weekend.
Woo!
Lots of parties planned. I actually got invited to 3 different barbecues on Sunday.
Okay. Now, how do you feel about that with COVID?
We're gonna go to one. It's a birthday event for a friend of ours, and I know the person that's hosting it is super paranoid, so it's gonna be extremely we're gonna be in the backyard, we're gonna be socially distancing, we're all having masks on. The only thing that concerns me a little bit is, you know, once we start coming back from this and people are starting to have get-togethers, it's one thing to be outside and be distancing from one another and wearing masks, but you really like can't be going into somebody's home and like go if you have to go to the bathroom, number one. Number two, if you know, you're using utensils. I kind of feel like everybody should be bringing their own food.
Well, I just read an article about this, and it was saying, or maybe it was a news segment that I watched on television, but the gist of it was that the new normal, you know, especially for, you know, even for an outdoor picnic, is everything from bring your own booze to bring your own utensils.
Yeah.
And in some cases, bring your own food.
Yeah, well, I mean, we've had a couple, and we've had 3 get-togethers in the backyard. And I did that. I said, bring your own snacks. You know, bring your own wine and snacks. And we all sort of sat separately because now you're all handling the same utensils.
Right.
We're not wiping, or I don't know that people are wiping their utensils after each time they serve something from a bowl that's communal.
Right.
So it's going to be interesting. And, you know, for all the people that say that this is all bullshit or politics or, you know, our numbers are on the rise, not only in the southern states, but in New Jersey, in New York. Like the numbers are crazy. And yes, people are saying that's because more people are being tested. But I think people started congregating a little bit sooner than they really should have. You know, on a sad note, a good friend of mine's mother-in-law just passed away this morning. Granted, she lives in Florida, and I don't know exactly. I have to believe that they were adhering to all of the guidelines when others weren't, especially in Florida. But this is, you know, this is serious. This is really serious.
Yeah.
It's kind of scary.
I know when you say the numbers are rising, but none of that really matters, especially because it's hard to tell because of more testing. But what really matters are hospitalizations, because when those start to show.
And that's what's rising.
Right.
Again, so a lot of the people that I go to Guatemala with or went to Guatemala with in March are doctors and nurses at our local hospital, Capital Health in Hopewell. And, you know, their numbers were off the charts in March. And I just texted with one of the girls that works in the emergency room, and she said in the past week, the numbers are going up again. Like they're really seriously seeing another surge. So for all you people out there that don't think this is serious, it's serious.
Still those folks that continue to, you know, say that masks are, you
pointless.
Know, ridiculous, yeah. And that there's no point to them, but, you know, hasn't science and studies and nothing that's even related to anything right or left wing, they're all saying the same thing, which is,
yeah,
you know, like they were saying that even our if we were to be really really adhere to the mask wearing concept. I mean, that little thing alone could save like 30,000 lives. So why not just do it? You know, why not just do it?
People are crazy. People think it's, you know, it's just, it's either stupidity or just defiance and want to be defiant about it. Like
I think
taking
it's,
away their liberties in some way. And our president is having, it's 4th of July tomorrow, and the president is having another rally at Mount Rushmore tomorrow.
Yeah. And
all of the local people in South Dakota are saying, no, 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 it shouldn't be happening. Don't want it to be happening. Still at this point, they're trying to get everything shut down. And the reports are that it's, you know, masks are optional. So I guess you get what you reap what you sow, but it's just horrible because you're now taking the, you know, you possibly, all right, if you don't care about your own health, that's one thing, but now you're possibly infecting others. It's I'm really upset about it today. Today was the first day I really watched the news in a really long time. And
right.
it's startling. It's really startling.
As you know, I talked about last week that I'm actually, you know, now that I'm technically a retired chef, mm-hmm. and part of that, the reason why I am is this pandemic,
right.
and not feeling safe where I was working with people that were refusing to wear masks. And I thought, if this is happening at a nursing home, it's got to be happening everywhere. So I decided to get out. Now I'm going to become a nanny.
Yep.
Now I'm conflicted because it depends on where your kids go to school, but some of the kids are going to be returning to school, which immediately makes them incredibly vulnerable because they're, you know, these are little kids who are not, they don't even understand how to be socially distant, you know? And so do I really want to go into a house where, you know, there was one couple that wanted to hire me, but their pay rate was significantly less than some of the other jobs that I was considering.
Right.
But one of the reasons I really kind of like this gig is that it's one little tiny infant who is not going to school, you know, and the two parents are being, you know, very cautious when they go to work.
I would totally agree with that. I mean, I don't know that I would want to be around a 6 and 10 year old.
Right.
During this, you know, yeah, touching things. And as you say, back in school, it's a little frightening.
Yep. So we do have to talk about food eventually.
I made something really good yesterday. I was in the mood for fried chicken. I really love fried chicken. It's one of my like top five happy items.
Really?
It's comfort food for me. I absolutely love it. I like it hot. I like it cold. I like it spicy. And I decided to make oven fried chicken, which I hadn't made in a while. Generally when I make fried chicken, if I'm making it for, you know, an event or for, it actually has become, a couple of days after Christmas, I have a get together with one of my brothers and his family. And usually I do all comfort food. So I'll do chili, fried chicken, macaroni and cheese, my grandmother's minestrone, just sort of comfort foods. And I always make fried chicken for that. But generally, when I make fried chicken, I do it at work because I have a fryolator there.
Right.
And get everything battered up. Usually I let it sit, which I think is the secret to good fried chicken, is you, whether you batter it or dip it or dredge it or bread it. If you let it sit and dry, I think it makes a crunchier crust on the outside before you fry it. But I wanted to make oven fried. So I did a combination of, first I dredged it in flour and I was just doing thighs. I just felt like thighs. I dredged it in flour that I had seasoned with salt and pepper. I dipped it in egg that I also had some salt and pepper, and I crushed a clove of garlic in it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I dredged it in a combination of breadcrumbs and panko, almost heavier on the panko than the breadcrumbs, and salt and pepper. And I put a little bit of cayenne in that. And so flour, egg, breaded, and then I let it sit for about 40 minutes. And then I put it on a sheet pan that I covered in aluminum foil because I didn't want a giant mess. And I put it in the oven for about 40 minutes and it was golden brown and crunchy and delicious.
Really? What temperature?
What temperature do I usually use?
375.
Yeah. This was a little bit more. I did 400 actually
because okay, I wanted it to get
a little crispier. And I only cooked it, you know, like 30, 35, 40 minutes. And really good. I had it sitting out. I had a piece. Mario had a piece. That was yesterday. And then even after it was refrigerated, it sort of maintained its crust. It really didn't get soggy. It was pretty crispy and nice, even though it was cold. And nice. I had a piece of that for breakfast this morning.
Yeah, well, I have anything but breakfast food for breakfast, so.
Yeah, it was actually pretty darn delicious.
So
I went out and rode my bicycle for 2 hours.
Good.
Yeah, I've been riding my bike a lot lately. It's been my new go-to. As you know, I haven't been doing the Zumba. My hip is not great, but riding a bike doesn't disturb my hip too much. I sound like an old lady talking about my hip pain.
I know.
But, yeah. Anyway, the chicken was delicious.
Good, good. I wanted to talk about in July, of course I had plenty of time to look this up. July is the month for peaches?
Peaches, blueberries a little bit. I know they're a little bit earlier in some places, but blueberries, zucchini. We'll start to get like early tomatoes. I have a bunch of cherry tomatoes on my cherry tomato plants already. Yeah, pretty much those are the July goodies.
Peaches, blueberries, and early tomatoes, meaning usually the baby ones.
Yeah, cherry tomatoes. Obviously if you're doing something in a hothouse, you would, but if you're just out, you know, gardening here in New Jersey anyway, those are the crops for July.
Okay, so when we come back, how much time do we have left for this segment? 4 minutes? Oh, wow. Okay. So I was actually looking up some recipes with peaches, just to sort of, you know, sometimes, you know, we think we've made everything and we don't need recipes, but sometimes it's nice to sort of read through them because you are reminded of things that maybe you forgot about, or perhaps there's some things that you've never heard of. And there was one and I've got to look for it, but it was an Austrian dessert, which I had never, I think it's called Kaiserschmarm.
Okay.
Never heard of it?
Nope.
Kaiser Schmarm.
What is it?
I've got to look it up. I thought I had bookmarked it, but I guess not. Anyway, it's just like, I'm trying to remember. I think it was the other thing I was thinking that would go really well with peaches would be a peach Charlotte. Have you ever made a peach Charlotte?
I have not ever made a peach Charlotte.
So, you know, I have, you know, certainly made apple and pear Charlottes.
Right.
Thinking peach Charlottes would be really nice. And what about a version of a Charlotte? And I'm not sure how you would do this in terms of method, but by having the bread be grilled instead of, you know, so a Charlotte is like the crust is made of bread slices that are generously buttered and put into a baking dish and then they get toasty, right, you know, golden brown.
I would think they would get two, so you would toast them in addition to?
Well, no, I'm thinking of, I'm just trying to think it through, like a dessert with peaches that was similar to a Charlotte. So let's just say we're going to take some bread and we're going to grill the bread.
Okay.
And then so on top of your piece of grilled bread, ideally, like I would think like a nice chunky piece of sourdough or something like that, then you could put a, like just on top of it, instead of it being in a traditional, you know, mold of a Charlotte mold,
right. Right.
You could put, let's say some caramelized, maybe they're grilled as well, peaches with, I don't know, maybe some fresh ginger, I don't know, just to
that
sort
sounds
of...
Good. That sounds delicious.
Yeah, and this one I came across is nice. It's tomato, radicchio, and grilled peach salad. So, and I love grilled fruit.
I loved grilled peaches, yeah. Actually.
And it's just, there's something about the smoky taste of the grill plus the sweet of the peach. There was another one I came across, which was some sort of peach pie, but the crust was made from, it was one of those instant crusts that it consisted of pulverized vanilla wafers and smoked almonds, which I thought sounded
really
good, right?
Let's talk more about it when we come back from break.
Okay, we have to go to break already?
Yep, we'll be right back.
Okay, be right back.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Are you over the age of 60 and been diagnosed with lung cancer? If so, you and your family may qualify for a cash award. We can help make sure that you and your family are financially safe and medical expenses are covered. If you've been diagnosed with lung cancer and are over 60, call 24/7 1-855-398-1754. 1-855-398-1754. Attorney Advertising. William Stephacker Jr. is the attorney responsible for this ad. Main office, Granton, Pennsylvania. May not be available in all states.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Generic Sildenafil allows you to save up to $650 on Viagra. Why pay name brand prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get the same results for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 50 generic Sildenafil pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $750 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill for the name brand again. Get generic Sildenafil for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-590-0443 today and save up to $650 and get 50 pills for just $99. Generic Sildenafil is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting to take your call now. Call 800-590-0443. That's 800-590-0443. Again, 800-590-0443.
The Home Service Club sponsors this paid advertisement. Attention homeowners. Broken AC? Water heater? Pool pump? Fridge on the fritz? You need home warranty coverage from the Home Service Club. HSC provides coverage for up to 47 different appliances and systems in your home for around $1 a day, backed by a 30-day money-back guarantee. Call now for a free, no-obligation quote and get your first month free, plus $75 off your first year. 800-465-9181. 800-465-9181. That's 800-465-9181.
And welcome back to Food for Thought.
We're back. And I was just thinking, we were talking about July crops. I forgot about all the vegetables that are, you know, ready now. Beans, peas, spinach, lettuces.
Right, lettuces.
Kales. Yeah. I was thinking fruit. I wasn't even thinking...
Right, right. Yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot coming out now. Another thing I just thought of, which I think would be really good, especially for me, I don't like stuff that's too sweet. It's, well, especially like if you're doing a savory recipe with a fruit.
Right.
That sometimes, well, imagine like a peach gazpacho.
Yeah, we actually we're serving lunch today and tomorrow and dinner today and tomorrow, and watermelon gazpacho was one of the soups today. Really delicious. Uh-huh. And not, you know, obviously not sweet. It's just that beautiful freshness of the watermelon. It's delicious.
And so it's balanced with, so there was the cucumber and peppers and everything.
Yeah, it's got everything a regular gazpacho would have. Tomato, it's even a bit salty, but it has that little bit of just the watermelon flavor, but not necessarily super sweet. Delicious.
Right. I mean, technically, tomato is a fruit anyway, so you're really just introducing yet another fruit.
Right. I like mango gazpacho, peach gazpacho. We've made it with pineapple. We've made it with orange. We've made it like any fruit you can think of is really delicious in a gazpacho.
Blueberry gazpacho.
I have never made a blueberry gazpacho, but it would probably be delicious.
Probably would.
Yeah.
That's all I got on peaches. How about you?
I just saw a recipe. I can't remember whose page it was. Oh, it was Jennifer Gardner. You ever watch Jennifer Gardner? Has a really funny Instagram account where she does her, it's like her fake cooking show, and she sees recipes from other cookbook authors and tries to replicate them. Well, this was something, and I don't know if it was yesterday or a couple of days ago. She just sauteed or really caramelized peaches, put a little bit of cinnamon and allspice and nutmeg on them, and sauteed them a bit. Put a little bit of maple syrup and let it just reduce, and it was really a nice sticky compote. And she made biscuits and just split open the biscuits and poured this delicious peach compote on top of them. I mean, how easy and delicious is that?
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, it's really good. And she's extremely entertaining if you've never seen her. She's
who is she even? Jennifer
Gardner. She's an actress. She was married to Ben Affleck.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
She has the series Alias. She's been in a ton of movies. She's really cute. She's
cute.
Pretty entertaining. But she was using peaches on this post she did the other day. It looked really good.
Now, what about also, are cherries out this month?
No, cherries are later in the season. And the only reason I know that is because I love cherries. And I sometimes go over to Terhune Orchards, which is our big local orchard in the area. And cherries are later in the season. So good. I even bought myself a cherry pitter because I love to make things with cherries.
What does a cherry pitter look like?
I will put a picture on our post. It basically has a little dish in which the cherry sits on, a little platform, and then a barb that basically comes down and pushes the stone out the backside of the cherry. I love cherries. Cherries are probably one of my favorite fruits. They're really high in iron. I'm iron deficient, so I love things that are good for me and delicious. Pretty much the only yogurt I eat is cherry yogurt.
Really?
Whether it's Chobani or, you know, Danon or whatever, my go-to yogurt flavor is cherry. I love cherries. I make a cherry apple crisp often. I make an apple crisp often, not only in the fall, just because it's so easy and I love apples. But I add sweet cherries to it, or dark cherries to it. It's delicious. Delish.
Now, this is a kind of a 180, but I'm just noticing, reading something about eggplant, and this is from, I think it's Food and Wine.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Food and Wine. It says, first it says to avoid eggplant pitfalls, okay? So it says, you keep the skin on, but then it goes on to say, make sure your eggplant skin is peeled before cooking it and digging in. If it's a larger vegetable, the skin tends to be thicker and harder to chew. So peeling the skin off and cubing it for roasting or sauteing is the way to go. For smaller varieties like Japanese eggplant, you can slice it on the bias. So I don't agree with that at all.
I was just going to say the same thing. I don't agree with that at all either. Yes, if it's tougher, I might cook it a little bit longer, but I love the skin. I like the texture of the skin. And I'm also allergic to eggplant, so I probably shouldn't be eating the skin because that's where I get the reaction in my mouth. I get like tingly. But uh-huh. I love it. I think that makes it. That's why I like it so much.
Yeah. So, and then it also says forgetting to pre-salt it. Do you always pre-salt your eggplant?
I never salt it, ever.
Yeah.
I know that's like a real, well, I should just say it's an Italian thing, but I do know a lot of Italian women that when they're making eggplant parmesan, they'll slice it and salt it and put it in a colander and let the moisture come out of it. I like the moisture in it. I don't want the moisture to come out.
Yeah.
I never understood that. My mom never did it. I don't understand why. Why do you want to take all the moisture out?
Yeah, I don't buy that one either. The only thing I do agree with out of these, well, it says not to use too much oil. I do realize that eggplants are like sponge in terms of soaking up oil. So you don't want to like really,
I just like, well, maybe put a little bit of oil on the pan if I'm right. Roasting them. I don't like slather it. I don't, I never fry it. I always roast it and then use it in whatever purpose, whether it's breaded or not breaded. I would never fry it. Yeah. Right. I don't get the salting and I don't, it is like a sponge. It is going to suck up everything.
The other thing that, of course, I completely agree with in terms of a major eggplant faux pas is undercooking it. It's one of those vegetables that you really, really don't want to do that.
Right.
So,
yeah, it's not, there's nothing worse than having a piece of eggplant parmesan and the eggplant's not cooked in there.
Oh, it's awful.
I want it to be mushy in there.
right.
Yeah.
Now, how about talking about vegetables that are less than popular? And I know I've done rutabaga maybe once or twice. Rutabagas are like turnips, right?
Yes. Yeah, I'm not a fan, quite frankly.
Not.
I can honestly say that I've never cooked a rutabaga for personal consumption. I've cooked them at work for like a squash mixture or we've made fillings with rutabagas to put in things, but nope. I think maybe on a Thanksgiving, we maybe have mashed a couple of them, but with turnips and rutabagas together.
Okay, well, here's a recipe I came across, which I've certainly never had it this way. And I'm wondering if I would prefer it this way, because, for example, certain root vegetables like beets, for example, I much prefer to have a beet raw in a salad than I would having it cooked.
Oh, and I disagree. I love roasted beets.
They're okay. But this calls for it's a coleslaw basically that's made with let me see if it's equal. Oh man, hang on. equal parts rutabaga and Savoy cabbage. And then the dressing is with buttermilk, vinegar, chives, Dijon mustard, a little garlic, and minced shallot, sunflower seeds, which is nice, and pepitas, equal parts, and sesame seeds as well. I think I might have to try this one.
I would never even think to put rutabaga in a slaw.
Neither would I, which is why I think it's sometimes good to read through these things.
Yeah, actually, yes, of course.
Because it's just kind of like,
expose ourselves to different things.
Right, right. Yeah. Anyway, what's you have some favorite summer vegetable recipes. I know we've talked about them before, but like the tart, your zucchini tart.
My zucchini tart is something I make. That's like my go-to. If I'm going somewhere, I usually make a zucchini tart. And I've been making it more often than not. I've been making it with half zucchini, half yellow squash.
Right.
And it's been good. And I've also been making it for people such as yourself who are not crazy about carbs. You know, the regular one that I would make has a base of puff pastry. Then I make a mixture of ricotta and eggs, salt, pepper, a little bit of mozzarella and Parmesan. And I spread that on the puff pastry. And then I shingle the zucchini and yellow squash slices, all covering everything like a tart. And then I bake it. But I've also been making it in a springform pan. And I've just been putting the ricotta, I've been putting aluminum foil and spraying the aluminum foil and just putting the ricotta mixture in the bottom and the zucchini on the top. And recently I layered it. So I did it in a regular cake pan and I layered the zucchini and the ricotta mixture and more zucchini and more ricotta mixture and ended it with zucchini. And I weighted it a bit. So okay. I put foil all around, you know, the foil was all around it because it's going to be dripping a bit. And I put a plate on top of it and I pressed it, sort of compressed it as it was baking.
Okay.
And it came out like a zucchini cake. With, you know, layers of ricotta in between. It was delicious. It was so delicious.
Nice.
Yeah, and I just made it up because, you know, like you, there's a number of people, other people in my life that don't want carbs, you know, don't like the puff pastry, don't want the puff pastry. I've seen them when they're eating it, they'll take a beautiful slice of it and then they scrape everything off of the puff pastry and they don't eat the puff pastry.
I know.
But that came out really nice. That was really delicious. One of my other sort of go-to quickly is not really a cooked vegetable, but I've been making this, and I guess I started doing it because when I went to Guatemala one year, they had this as a side dish and I thought it was delicious. It's basically traditional pico de gallo. So tomato, jalapeno, lime, or lemon, a little bit of onion. And to increase the volume, I put white beans in it.
Okay.
So it's really good. It's just like a real, it's almost like a, you know, a fresh salsa, but with white beans in it. And I've also done it on occasion where I've cooked corn and then I cut it off the cob and mixed corn into the salad. It's just a delicious, it's a really nice side dish. It's great for a barbecue. It's great, you know, it's just refreshing and summery. And you can even use it as a salsa if you want to serve it, you know, on the side of grilled meat or a fish or whatever. It can even become a sauce if you let it cook a little bit rather than just serving it cold. Really delicious. And you know, just the most simple of ingredients. Basically, making a salsa.
I have, here's another sort of underutilized vegetable, which I'm just realizing you can do a lot more than a lot more with rhubarb, for example, than typically what do you think of when you think rhubarb? You think rhubarb pie, right?
I think strawberry rhubarb pie.
Rhubarb pie.
Yeah.
What about poached rhubarb with melon granita?
That sounds delicious.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, the only thing about rhubarb is, and I've known this from making pies, and my mom would just cut up the rhubarb stalks and cook it down as like almost a puree that we would put with ice cream, or she'd serve it with little like ladyfinger crackers. You need so much sugar, you know, it's so tart.
Right, right. Now here's an interesting one. Grilled strawberry rhubarb sangria.
That sounds delicious. That sounds really good.
I'm just getting to the recipe. So I'm interested to find out. Now they're gonna make me scroll through to find it. But
well, when we come back, let's talk about it, because rhubarb is interesting, and I think it's underused.
It grows like a weed.
Exactly.
And it's cheap, and you know, let's use some more rhubarb this season.
All right, when we come back.
Okay, we'll be right back.
I can't get my computer to work.
Let me help you with that.
How'd you do that?
I just got techie with Geeks On Site.
Our geeks literally come on site. No need to stop what you're doing or block off time. We come to your home, office, or wherever you are. And we don't just fix whatever computer issues you might be having. We explain and teach you along the way.
We'll help you instantly. Call 844-606-8411. That's 844-606-8411.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Are you over the age of 60 and been diagnosed with lung cancer? If so, you and your family may qualify for a cash award. Our experienced attorneys are standing by to evaluate whether you have a lung cancer claim that qualifies you for a cash award. The consultation is absolutely free, and there is no risk and no money out of pocket. We only receive a fee when we secure you and your family a settlement. 250,000 people are diagnosed with lung cancer every year. You're not alone in this battle. We can help make sure that you and your family are financially safe and that medical expenses are covered. Again, if you've been diagnosed with lung cancer and are over age 60, call now. Don't delay. There are deadlines for filing claims. We're standing by 24/7. Call us at 1-855-398-1754. 1-855-398-1754. That's 1-855-398-1754.
Attorney Advertising. William Stephacker Jr. is the attorney responsible for this ad. Main office, Granton, Pennsylvania. May not be available in all states.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Generic Sildenafil allows you to save up to $650 on Viagra. Why pay name brand prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get the same results for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 50 generic Sildenafil pills for just $99. Call 800-590-0443. That's 800-590-0443. Again, 800-590-0443.
Okay, we're back. So my brother used to have his old house had a big rhubarb patch, and it really is a beautiful. Is it a fruit or a vegetable?
I thought it was a vegetable, but I could be wrong.
No, I think it is a vegetable, but you're right. It grows like wildfire. They had like the whole side of their garage was tons and tons of rhubarb. When it came up, it was like baking pies and making preserves and lots of rhubarb.
So, yeah, and of course, now I'm not able to find the... I'm just going to look up grilled... Rhubarb. How do you spell rhubarb? R-H?
R-H-U-B-A-R-B.
Strawberry. Sangria. which I forgot, it's kind of sangria season. We should be, oh, here it is. Okay, food and wine. And I love that it's grilled. Like, I've never really thought of grilling a fruit to put into sangria, but it probably would be awesome, right?
I would think it would give it like a nice, almost like a tequila, like that smoky agave kind of taste.
Right, right. This is telling you to put, to sort of like make a syrup, and then you take some of the strawberries and add them to the syrup along with some of the chopped rhubarb and vanilla bean, and you simmer that until the fruit is tender, and then add a spring of lemon verbena, which is a nice touch.
Yeah.
Then you let that entire thing cool, and then you strain the syrup through a fine sieve, pressing on the solids. So now you're so taking...
Basically, you're making an extraction of the rhubarb and the sugar?
Right.
Nice.
But then you've preserved some of the strawberries that you have on skewers, and you grill them over high heat until lightly charred, you know, like 5 minutes. Oh. Then you cut them in half. So in the pitcher, you combine the rhubarb syrup with half of the grilled strawberries and the Prosecco. So this one is actually the whole base, the alcohol base for this, this one is Prosecco. But I would like to do my sort of standard...
like a traditional sangria.
Yeah, with, you know, a little rum or, you know, a little...
Cointreau.
I would do white wine or Prosecco, but have it be, you know, kind of with a little bit more of a kick and not just Prosecco.
Right.
And it says that to use even the lemon verbena is really a garnish, but it says also to use, you could use lemon thyme. I would imagine even rosemary sprig would be.
That sounds delicious.
But yeah.
I would love one of those right now.
Me too.
Oh, pool boy. Where's that darn pool boy when we need him?
The pool boy, where is he? I need my strawberry rhubarb sangria. Too sweet. What other summer drinks?
I'm a big fan of watermelon in drinks. A big fan of like watermelon and lemonade combination.
Okay.
Or I love a mojito, so I like mint, but I also think it's great if you put some vegetables in there, like a cucumber mojito is delicious.
Right.
A melon mojito is delicious. Just, you know, think of every summer crisp, you know. I just think the combination of mint and crispy, cold, summer, fresh vegetable is delicious to me.
Right.
That also sounds good. I would like that. I mean, I like mojitos. I like mint a lot. I think mint isn't used enough. And I have in the past made sort of like a chicken mojito dish. So I've just had the same ingredients that you would put in a mojito, obviously not the sugar if you're putting sugar in it, but just marinate it with a little bit of oil and lime juice and mint and a little bit of garlic, salt and pepper, and just grill it. Delicious. Because it has that same lime mint combination, which I guess is the reason I like mojitos. I love that combination. Wouldn't that be good with shrimp though, or over a piece of fish, a nice piece of white fish?
Marinade with just the mint.
Lime, yeah. And mint. Yeah, lime, I would love that.
That sounds just delicious. Now, coming back to the mojito, or I would love to try a watermelon mojito.
I think I've had every type of mojito there is, because I used to make them a lot at home because they're
now easy. Would you Would you muddle the fruit or?
You muddle. I would use a tiny bit of either honey or sugar and lime and mint, and I would muddle that. And I usually make a pretty big quantity of it because I'd make them by the pitcher. So I would muddle that, and I have a muddler, but sometimes I would even just use my mortar and pestle and smash them up. And then I would put in rum and club soda, and that's it. But you can add any fruit that you would want. You could add, you know, I find that I use my little Nutribullet blender often for these types of drinks rather than just even a regular blender. Because I'll make a puree of the fruit. So I'll put the watermelon in there with a little squirt of lemon or lime, and then I have that puree that can be put. I've done it on occasion. We've done it at parties where we had specialty drinks at parties, and we've set up a station, whether it was for mimosas or for mojitos, and we would have small jars with purees and nectars that could be added to, just like at a mojito bar where you would have orange, apricot, guava, you know, all little nectars that you could add to the mojito. Same thing with a mimosa. I meant a mimosa bar.
Right.
You could do the same thing with mojitos. Got my M's confused.
I'm just reminded of it was a couple of years ago, we had agreed to bring a sangria to a party. And I was kind of on a white sangria kick. Mm-hmm. And so for the white sangria, you know, obviously you use white wine instead of red. And you can still use whatever fruits you want. But I think I just went with berries. So I did like some blueberries, raspberries, and strawberries. And I probably did some rum because I usually add some kind of hard liquor, but I also used, and don't ask me why, because I don't even like this.
Yeah.
What is the, what is that hard liquor that tastes like cinnamon something?
No, you're not going to say, oh, I know what you're going to say. A fireball?
Yes.
It tastes like those little cinnamon, those red cinnamon.
Yeah, red hots.
Red hots.
So I add, and I must have just used the fireball. Maybe I didn't have rum, and I was like, well, I got fireball, so guess what? Getting it. And
I mean, it probably could be good. I mean, I would think that actually would be delicious in like a mulled cider, because it is just cinnamon.
Yeah, well, Laura, I bring it to the party and everybody was like, what is this? This is amazing. And I was okay, good.
So what did you have in it to begin with? It was white wine,
the berries. Fireball. I probably used that because I didn't have any hard liquor, because I can't imagine I would have done rum as well.
Right.
And so I didn't add that much to it, so it wasn't overwhelming. It was kind of like nobody knew what it was. You know, it was that je ne sais quoi kind of.
Interesting.
But it was really good. And now that I'm remembering it, I kind of want to do it again.
I'm surprised you don't remember that name only because it's one of our Zumba songs.
Fireball.
Pitbull.
Now, I know I'm hopping all over the place, but I just came across one that looks, and we're going back to vegetables here, but still on the sort of, you know, summery type of dish.
Summer foods, yeah.
I wish, and maybe you could even Google the picture of this for the show when we're collecting photos. I can't show it to you right now, but it's polenta. So it's a nice thin, it looks like a nice thin polenta that's been grilled. So it's got the grill marks. And it's grilled until it's crisp, and it's served with sauteed spinach and garlic and rhodiola cheese.
That sounds delicious.
Doesn't it? So the rhodiola is just kind of like melted and gooey over it, and then the wilted spinach with the finely shaved sauteed garlic. It just looks amazing. amazing. And that is something where, even though I don't like to do carbs, I would not be able to not eat that. You know what I mean?
Nice.
So,
I think I'm looking at it.
Oh yeah. It's from Food and Wine.
Mm-hmm.
Food and Wine. Yeah, I haven't been doing much cooking, so I need some inspiration. I'm so fried, so to speak, with moving out of two houses that, you know, cooking is like the last thing I want to do right now.
I kind of enjoy taking a break from it. I mean,
it makes you miss it. Yeah.
It makes me miss it a little bit. You know, when we had during quarantine, when Annie's son was here, you know, I was cooking breakfast, lunch, and dinner every day. Not really breakfast, but I had options available for them. But, you know, I was cooking every single day.
And that's
not the norm for Mario and I. You know, I don't usually, I cook a couple of times a week. We both fortunately love leftovers. And generally, I usually cook a lot of food. Like, I don't just cook for one meal. So I make a quantity and we have it for a couple of days, and then I'll make something else and we'll have it for a couple of days. You know, we, like most of America, have a pizza once a week. not every week, but once every 2 weeks we'll get a pizza, or I'll make a cauliflower pizza, or I'll make a regular pizza. And we get stuff from the restaurant once a week. And sometimes we, like last night, Mary was working, I had popcorn for dinner.
Yeah.
Don't always stick to a healthy diet. So I do miss it. At the moment, I'm not doing a lot of cooking, with the exception of the oven fried chicken, because I was in the mood for it. But yeah, no, same here. I haven't really been cooking too much.
And here's one with which I really hadn't thought to do myself, a gazpacho, again, back to veggies and summer vegetables, a grilled vegetable gazpacho,
mm-hmm.
which that I've not done, and I can imagine really liking that sort of smokiness to it. Grilled eggplant salad with walnuts sounds like something that I would absolutely love. You know what I've been doing? Actually, I haven't been doing it super recently, but I'm remembering now that I was going through a phase where I just didn't have it in me I wanted to do as much raw vegetables as possible. I was really trying to load up on my veggies and trying to do raw. And they don't really, raw vegetables don't appeal to me that much. So, but in this form, I couldn't get enough of them. So what I was too lazy to even grate the vegetables with my Cuisinart blade. So I just cut up the vegetables, and it could have been anything from raw beets, carrots, cucumbers, cabbage. I was basically doing like a vegetable slaw, but I would cube up the vegetables and just throw it in the Cuisinart and totally chop the heck out of it. So pulverized. So then I would toss this sort of pulverized mix of raw vegetables with whatever kind of vinaigrette-y type of dressing I wanted to do, and maybe lime juice, and maybe some cayenne pepper because I like it spicy. Some sort of, a little bit of oil. I'll tell you what, I could eat like a quart of that.
And you know what the good thing is, because it's all vegetables, you could eat a quart of that.
You could eat a quart of it. And there's all of those.
It's healthy and fiber, and that's delicious.
Yeah. So I'm reminded again that I've got to get back into that habit. But, you know, it also gets expensive. You know, vegetables are expensive. When you eat a lot of them, man, does that add up on your grocery bill?
Yeah, absolutely. And there are certain things that I've been buying that I only buy the organic. I've been like, sort of in it on a kick. I mean, it sort of depends on what is there, but a lot of the leafy greens, I only buy organic, like root vegetables, potatoes or onions or things like that. I generally don't buy the organic. I'll just buy what they have out. But most of my fresh vegetables I get organic, and it's not cheap.
It does
get expensive.
It does get very expensive. You know, portobello mushrooms, I love them, but you know, I could eat, you know, $12 worth one sitting, you know, because it's just, they're just
exactly,
they're not cheap. Exactly. But here's a nice one, grilled tofu with asparagus and nori vinaigrette. Now, how does one make a nori vinaigrette? So I guess you pulverize your nori and then I'm gonna actually go to this recipe because I'm intrigued by this nori vinaigrette.
I would think you would have to hydrate it first, because usually nori is dry, right? So you'd have to rehydrate it and then pulverize it. It sounds good. This has been really interesting talking about all these delicious summer foods. Our time's running out. We are going to wish everybody a happy 4th of July weekend.
Yeah. Stay safe.
Stay safe, everybody. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening.